This is a Mercies of God radio broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas, telling forth from God's inerrant, inspired, infallible, and irresistible word, the glad tidings that mercy from the Lord is a living reality. This is your radio pastor, Peter North, here speaking. We trust that you will listen carefully for the next half hour as we endeavor to set forth the good news of mercy and pardon from a holy and just God to a world of guilty and lost sinners. We trust you enjoyed that number. This is the Mercies of God coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas. Now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that thy love is still being extended to this world, and that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We praise thee today, Lord, for the privilege we have of knowing thee and being a recipient of thy matchless, marvelous, eternal, sovereign love. And we would, our God, that every individual on the face of this earth might have the same privilege that you've given us. Oh, we beg thee, open the hearts of people as they listen to the broadcast. Use it, Lord, for thy glory and honor. Magnify thy name in it, and then be pleased to speak to hearts, Lord. There are folks out there that need to hear the truth, and they'll only hear it as thou dost work in their hearts. And so we pray, move upon them as only thou canst do. But we ask thee, our Father, just give listening ears, as we mentioned before, and then glorify thyself in all that's said and done. We thank thee and praise thee for this great privilege that you've given us of broadcasting thy truth by the means of radio. Bless the stations over which we broadcast, Lord. Supply their needs and use them also for thy glory and honor. And we pray, bring about a great awakening across America as only thou canst do. Lord, it's the only hope we have for survival. And we pray that thou wilt be pleased to start that awakening where we don't know, but start it, Lord, and cause it to sweep across this nation like never before. Oh, thou didst do it before. Do it again. We plead with thee. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, in thy blessed name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, or chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 9 down through verse 17. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? As we study the emotion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been in this now for several weeks, today we shall study the anger of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know people today don't like to hear about that, because we have such an insipid brand of Christianity today that they just don't know what in the world they believe, and for the most part don't believe anything. People are taught today that God is too good and too kind and too loving and too long-suffering and too tender-hearted and too compassionate to ever send an individual to a devil's hell. But, beloved, that's because they don't know the God of the Bible. As we study this emotion of the anger of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a study which should make all of us tremble with awe over the majesty and the authority of our Lord. Beloved, what I read to you in the book of Revelation is going to come to pass. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I urge you at this hour, as I urged you before, if you have not repented, you need to begin to do so and sue for mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ to be bestowed upon you. You see, my God is having mercy on you right now. And as I pointed out last time, it was a general mercy, and we find it's a general mercy that's extended to this earth, and it's a general mercy extended to mankind, but you've got to have the sovereign mercy of the Lord God of heaven given to you and extended to you, or else you'll never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never do, this is what's going to happen to you. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and listen to these words now, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now people today don't know anything about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to take a moment or two, and I want you to go back with me, if you will, to John chapter 5, and I want you to notice very clearly what the crown rights of our Lord as they are set forth. In John chapter 5, we find verse 20, we read, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now listen carefully. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. And then in verse 28 we read, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, that's Christ's voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now why do I tell you this? Our Lord not only is a merciful God, but our Lord also is a God of justice and wrath. And today, for a few moments, we're going to look at the emotion of anger as it's set forth with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, the definition of anger and wrath in the New Testament. The word anger comes from the word thumos. Anger, it means this, forthwith boiling up and soon subsiding again. The word here refers to a boiling agitation of the feelings which presently subside and disappear. Now this word is used in the New Testament in a couple of these places that I want to share with you. So take your Bibles now and turn back with me to the book of Luke chapter 4 and look with me at verse 28 where the Word of God tells us what this word is all about. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 28 we read, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the brow of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Here you have the word anger used in this portion. These people were angry at the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn again, if you will, to Acts chapter 19, and look with me at verse 28, and we find the Word of God says these things. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Again, here you have anger rising up. It is a boiling agitation of the feelings which presently subsides and disappears. Now turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 and look with me at verse 31 where we read, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now this is the one word of the anger that is found in the New Testament. However, there is another word. It is the word wrath, which comes from the word or guy, and it means an abiding, settled habit of the mind with the purpose of revenge. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles now and turn again to John chapter 3 and look with me at verse 36. Listen to what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Listen now, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, what in the world we have here? This is the word orgai, an abiding, settled habit of the mind with the purpose of revenge. It is that in God which stands opposed to man's disobedience, obduracy, especially in resisting the gospel, and sin and manifests itself in the punishing of the same. This word is used in John 3:36. Now turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, if you will, and look with me at verse 18. And this is what it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Here you have the wrath of God, and we see it is resting upon every individual apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me stop right here. If you have never repented and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think that God is pleased with you. He's not. God is angry with the wicked every day. And we find God says as we turn not, He has bent His bow and He has His arrows ready to shoot at the individual, which will send that person to a devil's hell where they will burn forever and ever. Now God is a God of wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, how long is this wrath going to last? Well, take your Bibles again. Turn to Revelation chapter 14 and look with me at verse 9 down through verse 11. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Here you have the emotion of anger as it's set forth in the Word of God. Then again in Revelation chapter 16, and look with me at verse 9. "And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory." Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about here? Here you have the wrath of God. And this is the wrath of God which is abiding upon the individual apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that in God which stands opposed to man's disobedience and stubbornness, especially in resisting the gospel and sin, and manifests itself, this anger of God manifests itself in the punishing of the same, and it manifests itself against sin. And beloved, sin today is not known in America. Sin today is not understood by the vast majority of so-called Christian people. But God is a God who hates sin, and God will punish sin. And the only way to escape this punishment is to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is that you will, if you haven't already done so. Now, there are different reasons why Christ becomes angry. The first reason is this: God, there is something in God which stands opposed to man's disobedience and stubbornness. Now, the different reasons God is angry with man stems in this respect. First of all, man is a completely depraved individual. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 9 and 10, the Word of God describes for us the heart of every individual. This is your heart. This is my heart. And that's why God has to give us a new heart, and He does so when we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says very clearly, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. I, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Now, you've heard people say, "Well, so-and-so is not such a bad fellow. He's got a good heart." Well, let me show you what the Word of God says about that. In Mark chapter 7, and we find verses 21 through 23, we read, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And this is the reason God is angry with the sinner. Man is a totally depraved creature. And we find man today is against the Lord God of heaven. The carnal mind is against the law of God. And man is against the Lord God of heaven. And we find God is angry with the individual. And in verse chapter 3, the book of Mark, and verse 5 we read, "And when he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." You see, beloved, God is angry with the wicked. And God is angry with the sinner because man is a depraved individual. Then, there's a second reason that God is angry with the sinner. Because man has departed from the prescribed practice. Now you say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" All right, take your Bibles now and turn back again to John chapter 2 and look with me at verses 13 down through verse 17 where we find these words. The book of John chapter 2, and we find in verse 13 down through verse 17, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that bought and sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold dove, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." Here you have the anger of God against the departure of the prescribed practice of the Lord. God never told the Jews to raise money by buying and selling oxen and sheep and so on in the temple. And God today doesn't tell churches to have dances and cakewalks and bingo and gambling and everything else. And I'll tell you right now, the anger of God is upon every church that does these things. The method of God to provide for His work is by the tithes and offerings of God's people. And if you don't practice that, put it down. The anger of God is resting upon you because you have departed from the prescribed practice that the Lord has set forth. You see, my Lord has a burning jealousy for the holiness of God and His house. And then we find also God is angry against those who are supposedly God's people, and then there's a disobedience that is found in them. Take your Bibles quickly, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we find here King Saul was told by God to do a certain thing, and we find King Saul disobeyed. And we see very clearly in verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now what do you have here? Here's the reasons why Christ is angry. There's a depravity of the heart, the departure from the prescribed practice of God that God has set forth before His people. And then we find also there is a disobedience of God's people, and then the delay of those in seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Now some of you out there, you think you have forever and a day to be converted. My friend, I want to tell you very kindly, you don't have. God tells you at this hour, today is the accepted time, now is the accepted hour, and my friend, right now is the time for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your life? It is like a vapor, and we find the anger of God is resting upon every sinner apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, the only way you can escape that is to come and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you are the sinner. Now I urge you at this hour, the greatest thing that can happen to you is for you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now you've got to come His way. His way is not church membership. His way is not baptism. His way is not speaking in tongues. His way is not walking the aisle. His way is not uttering a prayer. His way is not taking the preacher by the hand. It's not turning over a new leaf. God's way is repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are repenting, you think along with what God shows you. God shows you the judgment you're under. You say amen to that judgment. God also shows you that you are an incorrigible, totally depraved sinner, and you say amen. And whatever God writes against you, you think along with God, and you say amen to your own damnation, and then you begin to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. I've said before, I'll say again, multitudes today are going to church, but they're also going to hell. Now what about you, my radio friend? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, you right now are under the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. Remember, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And whom he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, I urge you at this hour, sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and don't stop begging until the Lord saves you. My hope is he will do so at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.